Ever since scientists started to gain a little control over the mysteries of life, our imaginations have run wild with possibilities. Almost 200 years ago, Mary Shelley imagined the tragic fate of a creature made by Dr. Frankenstein. And in her preface to the book, she made sure to mention that scientific authorities of her time thought the premise was not impossible. From genetically manipulated crops...
Tina and I kid about the fact that we're both nuts and we're both going to be eccentric in our old age. There's no way we can help but be eccentric in our old age. We don't stand a chance of not being eccentric in our old age. And we kid about when our kids are of age to where they have fiancés, because we plan on having a second one, the odds are they'll probably be being brought up the Amazon River in a boat by a native with a bone through his head as they explain to their fiancé, don't worry, Mom and Dad are really okay.
You're going to a level of aliveness, if you will. It is important that you work with your dreams and therefore on this accelerated path.
Yes. Isaac put Mrs. Lombardo, okay? Dana, okay. It's a D-A-N-A? D-A-N-A, Dana. Okay.
Is a dystopian view of our real world. How did you approach conjuring that future?
Yes, well, I pretty much confine myself to planet Earth, and I don't like to put anything into books like The Handmaid's Tale or Oryx and Crake that I haven't researched and that I don't have the backup for. So I put nothing into Handmaid's Tale that the human race had not already done. So it's all possible. Whether it's plausible is another another question, but it's possible. So some people are surprised to hear that the green luminous rabbit already exists, but it does. The spider goat already exists. It's in Montreal happily making silk for bulletproof vests. And just as I published the book, came news that they'd invented a couple of recreational fish that you could put in fish tanks that light up. There's a red one and a blue one now. So we have now the possibility to mix and match all kinds of things. We've just opened the biggest toy box in the world. Here, Jimmy, the hero of our story, is touring a biologically structured university with his friend Craig. They were standing in front of a series of cages. Each contained a dog. There were many different breeds and sizes, but all were gazing at Jimmy with eyes of love. All were wagging their tails. Don't go beyond the guardrail. Don't stick your hand in. They look friendly enough, said Jimmy. His old longing for a pet came over him. Are they for sale? They aren't dogs. They just look like dogs. They're wolvogs. They're bred to deceive. Reach out to pat them, they'll take your hand off. There's a large pit bull component. Why make a dog like that? Said Jimmy, taking a step back. Who'd want one? It's a corpse thing, said Craig. Commission work, a lot of funding. They want to put them in moats or something. Moats? Yeah, better than an alarm system. No way of disarming these guys, and no way of making pals with them, not like real dogs. What if they get out? Go on the rampage, start breeding. Then the population spirals out of control like those big green rabbits. That would be a problem, said Craig, but they won't get out. Nature is to zoos as God is to churches. Meaning what? Said Jimmy. He wasn't paying close attention. He was worrying about the wolvogs. Why is it he feels some line has been crossed, some boundary transgressed? How much is too much? How far is too far? Those walls and bars are there for a reason, said Craig. Not to keep us out, but to keep them in. Mankind needs barriers in both cases. Them? Nature and God. I thought you didn't believe in God, said Jimmy. I don't believe in nature either, said Craig. Clement with a capital M.
The important thing about ping pong balls is the bravery. They're probably born with it. Think of the blind courage in facing up to the paddle. Yes, the paddle is terribly vicious. You'd think something would be done. They tried covering the paddles with silk. What happened? Silk ping pong paddles just didn't work out. Why? It didn't make a ping or pong with the ball. What did it make? A blip and a blop. I wish they'd have used the silk, aside from the ball's sake. Why? I think I would have enjoyed playing blip-blop.
A tradition of Jewish society, primarily in the Near East, by the way, where the role of women was very much subservient. And it was created primarily by men and for the religious imaginations of men. Women generally did not read the Kabbalistic texts. However, the Kabbalist has an obligation, not only a Jewish legal obligation, but a spiritual obligation, to enter into the active union with his wife in a holy way. And that act, which they did ideally on Friday night, which was the time of the Holy Sabbath when the cosmic forces also united, that act was a kind of earthly reenactment of something going on in the divine sphere.
Any sort of fecundity, basically. And it is true that these tended to be some of the earliest types of religions that we have, particularly
What are you doing?
We're escaping, buddy. And you're going to catch us.
I am?
In the primitive state, and therefore doesn't really apply to many of you here, a man will first seek will and action. He will seek that energy, to have a will and action.
Our text will be found in the Gospel according to the Apostle St. John. The Apostle St. John, the 14th chapter.
Thank you.
message reads as follows. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. At my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. If ye have known me, ye should have known my Father also. If ye ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Today we want to speak from just one word. And that one word is this. Or y'all might as well say amen. I know right now that man, that word doesn't seem like as much to you. It seems small and insignificant. And yet those of us that are here today, we've already used the word if. Somebody said, will you call me after church if I have time? Are you going to work tomorrow if I feel better?
Masculine energy 1 and masculine energy 2, will and action.
Therefore, the act of physical union becomes an act of spiritual union as well. Were the women ever told this? Were the women full participants in this, or was this just something in the minds of their husbands?
Archaic and magic eras, again, doesn't mean that everything in those eras were archaic or magic. There were many profound shamanic visions of altered states that we talked about, gross, subtle, and causal states of consciousness. But the general orientation was the more you honor the earth, the more you find spiritual awareness. Yes.
Let me tell you why I suck as a salesman. Let's say I go into some guy's office. Let's say he's even remotely interested in buying something. Well, then I get all excited. I'm like Jojo, the idiot circus boy with a pretty new pet. The pet is my possible sale. Oh, my pretty little pet. I love you. So I stroke it, and I pet it, and I massage it. Yeah, I love it. I love my little naughty pet. You're naughty.
The primitive man will develop. That's all he will develop. And in your history, in your archaeological history, in your history of humankind, there is that state of affairs called cave person, cave man. Indeed, where there was simply will and action. There is no sense of understanding or meaning. There is no sense of anything else.
This is Hector Elizondo, inviting you to celebrate this holiday season.
What ditched work today?
Lovers and madmen have such seething brains, such shaping fantasies that apprehend more than cool reason ever comprehends. The lunatic, the lover, and the poet are of imagination all compact. One sees more devils than vast hell can hold. That is the madman. The lover, all as frantic, sees Helen's beauty in a brow of Egypt. The poet's eye, in a fine frenzy rolling, doth glance from heaven to earth, from earth to heaven. And as imagination bodies forth the form of things unknown, the poet's pen turns them to shapes and gives to airy nothing a local habitation and a name.
Conditional clauses introduced by if may be classified as expressing, number one, what the speaker assumes or admits as actual fact. Yet both condition and conclusion topically have the indicator if he or she sees it, they will tell. You know, I don't care what nobody said, we got some big mouth people in the world. Y'all might as well say amen. The only reason they don't tell you a business is they don't know it. If is one of the shortest words in any language.
His will in action was all there was. Primitive, animal-like human behavior. This energy seeks, however, its counterpart. And therefore, in our sensing, the primitive man, who develops only his will and action, he then turns to a woman, or to a female energy, usually a woman, to find, to have her supply, what? To have her supply imagination, and to have her supply feeling. That's all she has to have.
In a silent place, and then just think of the song in your own head.
Aeneas had long sought after Grail. Also in the pursuit, however, are those responsible for Sonier's death, who evidently have killed him in order to learn the whereabouts of the Grail.
Metaphysics. Playing along with the space-time game. We're experts now.
we? So much of it. Of course, I'm not talking about how much space or time there is. There's space and time, of course. Of course, that can be a problem. Of course, the numbers go all the way up. They're ambidextrous little instruments. They play both sides against the other side of either side. Cute little fellows. Of course, you do know the odd numbers are feminine, don't you? I thought everyone knew that. NewMetaphysics.com, of course. The Citadel on higher ground against the infidel hordes. Should be pouring in here sometime. According to theory.
Why are there so many liars?
Haven't seen anyone by here lately, though. You know, just you people. The listeners scattered on the internet now. A hardy crew. Kind of like the audience in a club where it costs a lot to get in. So you damn well better enjoy it. Consume expensive things. Gary at newmetaphysics.com. Mountain Stream as well. Shoutcast and Winamp Radio. Now, am I talking to you from your portable communication device yet? Hooked up to every sub-routined system out there? And don't worry, we're not necessarily going to get bio-implanted with this thing. We're just going to ride this monkey for a while. Till the real stuff comes along. I'm not talking about getting tripped up by the concept of a concept containing concept. You know I wouldn't stumble over one of those now. The real technology, the sexy stuff. Normally, this male-dominated technology is considered sexy because we're all just big gaping cunts around here waiting for a good luck stroke God. By
well, usually you find
the man in our lives.
Yeah.
The idea of a perfect human being is really quite a lot like them, except immortal.
And now that we have all these amazing scientific genetic tools that would give an evil eugenicist the ability to really create a master race, the prospect of a Hitler in this context becomes absolutely
waiting
terrifying.
For a glancing blow.
You know, you don't even have to postulate
from
an
our
evil
man.
Geneticist. All you have to do is think
about the breadwinner.
Parents deciding what they want their babies to be like. What are they going to decide? And who is going to influence those decisions?
Otherwise,
and what is going to be the norm of perfection towards which
technology
they
today, just a big mess.
Drive. That's the scary thing.
As Andy used to say, it's so messy.
The kind of things that nature will come
today
up with on its own are going to be ruled
out. That was before AIDS.
However, I don't think you need to worry about that right now because there are, 6 billion people in the world and growing.
It's ticking, my friends. Your hearts are ticking.
And somehow out of that, she will give him understanding, and she will give him meaning.
This is my first entry in 2 years. Sand is overrated. It's just tiny little rocks. If only I could meet someone new. I guess my chances of that happening are somewhat diminished, seeing that I'm incapable of making eye contact with a woman I don't know. Maybe I should get back together with Naomi. She was nice. Nice is good. She loved me. Why do I fall in love with every woman I see who shows me the least bit of attention?
So in that very primitive state, a man, right? Will, action, a bull, right? Just sort of there. Doesn't speak very much, just sort of, you want dinner? Want to watch television? Tell me now, what do you think of the situation with Secor's testimony? You've seen a couple of these specimens still roaming the earth. And what they want in a mate is a woman who will be just filled with imagination and feeling. And that is somehow automatically to provide him with understanding and with meaning to his life.
No, it's so very important that you let go of the past, but in so letting go of the current past, to tap into, to experience and to tap into what we call your spiritual ancestry, your spiritual heritage.
see often for him is nothing more than a bauble.
Starting right around what we call the Axial Period, which is really around 6th century BC, Greece and in the West, but you find a similar orientation in the East as well. There's almost an entire reversal of orientation in terms of what constitutes the spiritual life or the realized life or the life that you have both the most freedom and the most fullness. And these tend to be almost entirely transcendental religions. So the first is immanent. It's this body, this life, this earth. And the second orientation is transcendental. It's a kingdom not of this earth, not in this body, not in this lifetime, not in your life. It's a very, very otherworldly orientation. The first orientation is very, very disworldly. A lot of what we think of as the world's great traditions, the traditions that have come down to us most influential, tend to be of this ascending variety. Obviously, the monotheistic religions that we know, Judaism, Islam, Christianity, but a large part of the traditions around the world have a very strong ascending, otherworldly, heavenly kind of orientation. And in India, you find sort of the archetypal form of this merely ascending spirituality in the early forms of yoga and early Buddhism, which basically equates the entire manifest realm of Gaia and senses and the body with what's called samsara, which basically means illusion or fragmentation or sourness. And realization is nirvana, the pure formless realm that is entirely otherworldly. There's no manifestation in nirvana at all. And indeed, nirvana is very similar to that deep dreamless state that we talked about, the formless state itself. And the whole goal of this life is to get out of this life, is to get off the realm of rebirth, which means coming back to the earth. It's basically the earth is at best a runway, a takeoff for the real life that occurs in another realm, in a formless realm or in an actual heaven. And so the traditional ascending religions were not generally very friendly to the earth, not generally very friendly to the body, tend to be puritanical, tend to be repressive to some degrees. And since this is mostly a men are trying in these religions to suppress their own sexuality, and since men blame women for being sexual objects, then women in these societies are viewed as basically sin, part of the sort of the world of sin, separation, suffering, mortality, and so on. Whether Eve gave him the apple and made him do it, or there's variations on that tale.
More about the way other people in the world do things. So there's a tendency, and here's an interesting feature about religion. There's a tendency to look for a divine ground or source of these taken-for-granted features of the world. There's a wonderful story from the TV show Roseanne, where Roseanne is helping her daughter, Darlene, move into her first apartment, and Darlene is putting away her socks in the bottom drawer of the dresser. And Roseanne says, "Well, look, don't you know that you put the socks in the sock drawer, the top drawer?" And Darlene says, "Well, who made this rule that socks have to go in the sock drawer?" And without batting an eyelash, Roseanne responds, "God. God made the rule. You have to put the socks in the sock drawer. That's just the way it is, right?" Taken-for-granted beliefs have that sort of sense of, well, it's just the way the world is. And therefore, it must be the way God made it, right? Now, this feature of grounding taken for granted beliefs in religion. Doesn't make much sense with socks, right? Not really, that's a joke. But...
You should not have seen this. I apologize.
This is a hoax, right?
Mrs. Clinton, I assure you, no.
No.
Space-headed, giddy, little puff. Eh? Men like that are going...
ACRW celebrates the season
giddy women,
with selected
eh?
Shorts.
Are just little, cute little cream puffs, eh? Pink and frothy. Eh? And that's all. She doesn't have to think. She doesn't have to make sense. All she's got to do is be good in bed.
6:30 on 89.9.
Spiritual heritage. And not only to tap into it, certainly so, but to actually harness the energy, to harness the power of that spiritual ancestry.
Your fascinating novel, The Handmaid's Tale, supposed that environmental damage might cause a huge drop in female fertility. Let's hear a little bit of the movie they made from the novel.
On this day's consecration, we would do well to remember by what deadly steps we were brought here. The folly of mankind, and of womankind as well. Sexual promiscuity, widespread abortion, birth control, test tube babies, genetic engineering, artificial insemination. God, in his profound compassion, has seen fit to punish us, to send a plague of barrenness, a desert
in so doing,
of infertility.
We will certainly
you
be
have been
of
given
this very important dreamer, for we will be speaking of
you
Lemuria
are fertile.
And your connection,
you
your root, your base
birth
in that particular civilization, on that particular
in
continent.
Your story, men have enslaved fertile women as breeders in order to keep the population up. In one interview, you said that that scenario wasn't far-fetched at all. How come?
Well, The Handmaid's Tale is the dictatorship, and like all dictatorships, it's a pyramid, and top dogs at the top, and the top dogs can both be top men and top women. And then in descending order, we get everybody else until we get to the people on the bottom. And that's how those things are always structured. So the what-if question that The Handmaid's Tale answered, or attempted to answer, was if you were going to have a dictatorship in the United States, what form would it take? Well, it would be likely to have some sort of quasi-religious component, because societies build themselves on their previous selves, just like Aztec pyramids. They never tore down the pyramid, they just built on top of it. And at the very bottom of the American pyramid is a 17th century Puritan theocracy. So what you really have to ask yourself is, what will this group of people do should they come to power? That is the question. Now, it probably would not look like women dressed up in red old Dutch cleanser costumes. I admit that was a bit of invention. But nonetheless, I didn't stray off the path of human possibility in that. I just brought it all together in a place where you would be least likely to look for it, namely Harvard College in Massachusetts.
I was reminded of Handmaid's Tale just the other day when I read...
Greetings, Earthman. There are three rules to rock and roll. Unfortunately, nobody knows what they are. So come on in and let us speak of sex, drugs, ecstasy, passion, joy, illumination, and all that kind of shit. I was born in San Francisco, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 1941. Sort of a war baby, just post-war baby, or pre-war baby. My grandfather always used to say my birth was the reason that Japan bombed Pearl Harbor. They were trying to get me, to get me out of the way.
What was your dad's occupation?
He was just a sales commissioner for a retail company.
Was he a San Francisco native?
No, he came from the East Coast. He moved here in the 20s. And was rather old when he had me. He was about 50 when I was born.
...25% mix of the upper orbit wave, then if I do the experiment 100 times, I'll find roughly, not exactly because this is all statistical, roughly 75% of the time I'll find the atom in the lower orbit state.
All you got to do is give him what he wants, when he wants it. Have dinner, television, a little sex, And that's the very primitive stage in that particular regard of what he seeks. Now, what is she after? The very primitive woman in that sense, similarly, has developed only her first qualities here, has only developed an imagination and feeling. And she seeks a man. She seeks a man to give her will and action, to do that for her, and who will give her meaning and understanding. She seeks a man who is whole. From her perspective, though, with her imagination and feeling, usually he's a man. Eh? Just beefcake, all right? That's all that matters. He doesn't have to think, really, either, in that sense. He doesn't really have to have anything going for him other than that he is, quote, the perfect man. So high, so tall, so big, so small. And that's it. And from that very primitive state, what does she see in him is all she sees is what he's like in bed. Or what she imagines he's like in bed. There aren't too many of those around either anymore. Occasionally you'll see one, and if you do, call. Eh? I saw one the other day, down there, downtown, on Union Square. She was sort of wisping along, There's a gust of breeze, and I lost her. Yes. A little puff, and that sort of thing. But just is that all imagination and all feeling, but no substance. Well, that's a very primitive state, and most everybody, quite sincerely, has moved beyond that now. When you're a teenager, you're a lot of times in this state. You know, teenage guys, all they can look at is the size of the boobs, right? That's all that matters. Eh? That's all that matters. Hey, look at that here. Look at that. That's all they care about. Is she easy? That's all that matters, you see? And in that same thing, a lot of you went through that period absolutely disgusted with the boys because, you know, there was, what's her name? You know, Susie Tramp. And, you know, she had a body, and that's about all. She chewed a gum and it cracked. You know? That didn't seem to bother them, and that sort of thing. They stood in line for Susie Tramp. But here you were, with a little more intelligence, a little more to offer to say, you were sort of often shoved aside in that regard. And in that same thing, many early teenage girls, similarly, all they care about is what he looks like. Look at his jeans, look at those buns, eh? That's all they care about, eh? And they get all excited in that same thing, what he looks like in a T-shirt. He's got three whiskers. Oh, my. What a he-man. Yes, that's all that matters, then. That's all that matters. And that's where it begins. And it begins archetypally in that same thing for all of you in the same place. And be it as your favorite movie star, etc., as you absolutely scream for some movie star, etc., as a young girl, etc. Never a chance in the world of meeting them, etc., but absolutely. All you are is imagination and feeling, and all you care about is the will in action. And similarly with you men as young boys, etc., getting out the magazines, etc., and look at this airbrushed example of what a woman looks like, and that's what turns you on, absolutely. And that's the thing, she had real skin and that sort of thing, and that they had a blemish here or there, like,
25% of the time, I'll find the atom in the upper orbit state. That's what a superposition state is. It's a mix of two possible wave solutions, and it's entirely possible because of the wave nature of matter and of light in quantum physics. So we can have these superposition states. The problem is, once we go to measure the system, if we ask, which slit did the electron go through, we can ask that question, and we can ask, did it go through the left-hand slit? And we can determine the answer to that question. At that point, the
You should not have seen this. I apologize.
Of course, Lemuria has one of its most important components, one of its most important contributions, and that is the facility of dreaming. And therefore the facility of the Lemurian dreamer. And so we will speak of that dreamer, of course, when we work with harnessing your spiritual ancestry.
It makes a good deal of sense, maybe, with rules like thou shalt not kill. Right? It would be really good if that was sort of a built-in feature of the world. But clearly that notion, too, needs to be subject to critical inquiry.
This is a hoax, right?
And this is Clem.
I assure you, no.
No. Diverges in the desert. The road you're on, John Anderton,
There's no such thing as this. Look. Our files are confidential, Mr. Barish, so I can't show you evidence. Suffice it to say that Miss Kraczynski was not happy, and she wanted to move on. We provide that possibility.
Miss Kraczynski was not happy and wanted to move on. We provide that possibility.
Nah, tain't so. I am what I am on account of I eat me spinach.
Very much indeed.
The biologist Richard Dawkins' new book is called The Ancestor's Tale.
What the hell is that? The nicest guy she ever went out with.
What can I say, Joel? Little Clementine, she's like that. She's impulsive. She decided to erase you almost as a lark.
A lark?
Why do I fall in love with every woman I see who shows me the least bit of attention?
Now, in matter of fact, it is time for you to begin working as a dreamer, as one upon an accelerated journey with Lemuria, and to work with the Lemurian dreamer.
We have rare documentation about that. There's one text I treasure very much from... of Safed in Israel in the 16th century, which says that on Friday afternoons as the Sabbath began, men and women, husbands and wives, would go together into the ritual bath to prepare themselves so that their minds would be dedicated to the same place.
These mysterious others have used members of the fanatical Catholic order, the Opus Dei, as pawns to lead them to the place of the Grail's hiding.
Lost a little bit on a very small matter. I was talking about a dowry, and my line was, the dowry you're offering, it's impressive, no? That's the way I said it. But the director pointed out that the actual line is, the dowry you're offering, it is impressive, isn't it?
Wait, no. I'm sorry, Doctor. He just barged right in here.
Okay. I want it done.
I told him pre-Valentine's Day is our busy time. I mean, there are other...
That's okay, Mary.
But there are people waiting.
Mr. Barish, if you'd like to come inside. Mary, if you could take care
yes,
of Mrs.
Yes, of course.
Hula. Goodbye, Mrs. Hula.
Now, the first thing we need you to do, Mr. Barish, is to go home and collect everything you own that has some association with Clementine. Anything. We'll use these items to create a map of Clementine in your brain, okay? So we'll need photos, clothing, gifts, books she may have bought you, CDs you may have bought together, journal entries. You want to empty your home... want to empty your life of Clementine. And after the mapping is done, our technicians will do the erasing in your home tonight. That way, when you awake in the morning, you find yourself in your own bed as if nothing had happened. A new life awaiting you.
Now, during the decade... this most monumental decade of the 1990s, during this most monumental decade, your reality, the consensus reality, and your reality as part of it, is relinquishing its hold upon the past. It is relinquishing its hold.
Joe, you've got to be kidding me. This is a good marriage.
Well, it's so great. Why do I want to get out?
I don't know. I mean, I don't understand it even a little. Is it something I've done?
You don't have to do anything or not do anything. You're just here. The one thing in this world that keeps me from having freedom.
The one thing, Joe?
Yeah.
Just one person anymore. It's going to be two.
Is the office of...
You're a big boy. You got a much bigger voice out of that tiny floor.
Is the office of...
Listen, you're a big girl. You can get a much bigger voice out of that tiny throat of yours.
Tiny?
He dedicated to the same place, and they would therefore bring forth holy souls in their active union.
You can't have the procedure done three times in one night. Well, it's just not our policy here. How are you today, Mr. Barish?
Mr. Barish?
He's really busy this afternoon, but maybe tomorrow will be better around 12:15. Can you do that?
February is very busy for us because of Valentine's Day. This is Stan Fink, one of our most experienced and skilled technicians. He'll be handling your case tonight.
Great to meet you, Mr. Barish.
My name is Joel Barish, and I'm here to erase Clementine Krasinski.
Very good. Now, tell me about Clementine.
I was living with this woman, Naomi, couple years ago, and my friends Rob and Carrie invited us to this party at the beach. I don't like parties. Naomi couldn't go, but I went, and I met Clementine.
I'm sorry. Let me start with your most recent memories and
work backwards from there, more or less. There's an emotional core to each of our memories, and when you eradicate that core, it starts its degradation process. And by the time you wake up in the morning, all the memories were targeted, were withered and disappeared, as in a dream upon waking.
Is there any risk of brain damage?
Well, technically speaking, the procedure is brain damage, but it's on a par with a night of heavy drinking. Nothing you'll miss.
Miss Holliday, you told me when I hired you that you were used to answering phones.
Electron ceases to be in the superposition state, and it becomes in the definite state associated with going through the left-hand slit. If I look at this atom that's in this mixed superposition state, and I say, okay, is this particular atom in the lower level or the upper level? I do a measurement, even though it's originally in this superposition. I'm going to find either it's in the lower level or it's in the upper level. I'm not going to find both. I'm not...
Corporate interests overtaken state priorities as the driving force behind developing world conflicts? Next on Book TV, Brookings Institution security analyst P.W. Singer considers the military-industrial complex.
Alfred into heaven, into the alabasters and night blue, foam and cloud are one, sultry moon monsters are dissolving, fill your black hull with white moonlight, there will never be an end to this droning of the surf.
I'm going to find somewhere in between. In other words, what I'm going to do by measuring the system is force it into one of the two possible states.
Dear Mary, sometimes I look at myself in the mirror and wonder whether any of us would act as we do if we saw ourselves as others see us.
Power given to precedent. It is relinquishing its hold and the power given to history. Now, all three will continue to exist. Please understand that. Yes, there will always be a past, and there will always be precedents, and there always will be history. But what's important is the power that they have, the influence they have, more often the control you allow them to have in your particular reality. And in this decade of the 90s, the world, the consensus reality, is relinquishing that hold, relinquishing that power and thus the control. And people who refuse to do so will find themselves seeming up in the air, seeming to go somewhat off the deep end in a certain way, seeming to, in their own unique and quite particular and peculiar way, to be going, quote, crazier.
I suppose I should feel sorry about him, but I don't.
One more way to tie me down.
Well, it won't work. I intend to get out of this marriage and everything else that ties me down, no matter what.
In one wave, two waves can exist at the same place at the same. And that wave solution then determines, but only statistically or probabilistically, what particles are doing. So going through the left-hand slit. If I look at this atom that's in this mixed superposition state, and I say, okay, is this particular atom in the lower level or the upper level? Result in a definitive value for whatever quantity we're trying to measure. Atom will be here, and another probability that will be here, and they created the wave function in such a way that there's not much probability in between. But which of those two places is it? You can't say.
Comfortable? What we're doing here, Mr. Barish, is actually creating a map of your brain.
Okay, let's get started. If we want to get this procedure underway tonight, we have some work to do.
I want you to react to these objects, Mr. Barish, if you will.
There's a good story behind this.
Actually, Mr. Barish, I'll get a much better emotional readout if you refrain from any sort of verbal description of the items. Just please try to focus on the memories.
Oh, sorry.
Today's Ebonics language lesson, meeting girls. My, you're a lovely young lady.
Damn, you's a fine mother.
Damn, you's a fine mother. Let's go for a ride, shall we?
Hey, baby, jump in my low rider and let's rotate these tires.
Hey, baby, let's jump in my low rider and let's rotate these tires. You are beautiful. I would like to make love to you.
Damn, bitch, you stupid fly. Let me pull up to that bumper and smack that monkey.
Damn bitch, you stupid fly, let me pull up to your bumper and smack that monkey. Greeting old friends. Hello, sir.
What up, dog?
What up, dog?
Peanuts, get your red hot peanuts. Can't tell the players without some peanuts.
Oh, excuse me. I was just doing some ball game vending the professional way. Friends, how many times have you been to the ballpark and wish you could toss peanuts, pour beer, and make change just like us pros? Well, now at last, this dream can become a reality when you enroll at West Coast School for Famous Ballpark Vendors. What's that you say? Your vocal cords could never last through the third inning, and you thought that only college graduates could qualify for the position? Well, once you take our simple three-year program at West Coast...
Another thing you need to know about spin. It's a funny quantum concept, and its direction is not uniquely determined until you measure it. Just
I've heard extraordinary eloquence over the last couple of days, and I also can't tell you what a relief and pleasure it is to me. Stating almost as commonplace as notions that it seemed to me at one time were held only by Pam Samuelson and me. and you know, a large number of people thought we were crazy. And I actually still am, but it is very heartening. And especially in light of the full court press which the media monsters are presently engaging in their efforts to control the mind of this planet. You have five companies that seek to own the mind of the future, and they are working at it very hard. And of course, I don't believe they can be permitted to succeed. But they do have an awful lot of institutions that appear to be on their side, which is sort of what you'd expect, since we are talking about, as Julie just said, a transition between two very different economic periods. You kind of expect some pushback from the previous period, and we're getting it. I mean, I think that the history of the 21st century is almost already written, in the sense that I believe that it's going to be about the battle between open systems and closed systems. And the closed systems are certainly powerful and determined and fighting for their lives. And I think we can all take some hope from the fact that usually when open systems and closed systems do battle, open systems win. So we must not lose our spirit in spite of the way the judiciary is acting at the moment. The reason I got into this stuff to begin with, I think, was because right about the time I first dropped acid, I was reading a French theologian and paleontologist and evolutionary theorist named Teilhard de Chardin. Who? How many of you have heard of Teilhard de Chardin? Cool. Not the usual response. So I don't need to tell you much what he said, but, you know, he said that we were evolving, that evolution was a process that was evolving into a level where it would become conscious. And we are fast approaching that moment if we haven't already reached it. The first time I got online and telnet, which was a religious experience for me, believe it or not, but a lot of things are, I really felt like I was, for the first time, seeing the neurological underpinnings of that great collective organism of mind that Teilhard was talking about. And I felt very strongly that I wanted to be part of it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
so when I subsequently wrote
back in what seems like another geological period, a piece called The Economy of Ideas, one of the things that I tried to get across was my belief that ideas are a life form, and that they exist, I mean, not like a life form, that they are a life form, and that they exist in the ecosystem with one another. This seems fairly clear to me. In fact, at one point I had the good fortune of meeting James Watson, one of the co-realizers of DNA, and I said, I want to talk to you about non-carbon-based life. And he said, oh, no, you don't. And I said, why not? And he said, well, I'm an old man, and I've got a little time left, and carbon-based life is all I can handle. And I conceded his point. I said, well, all right, let me ask you this. What is life? And he said, okay, life is a pattern of information which is capable of self-reproduction, sustaining itself over time, and evolving to adapt to local circumstances, which worked for me. And I think supports this view. And subsequently, I had another experience that helped me believe that there was some basis for this belief. I was talking at the Studio 54 of computer conferences, the TED conference, in Monterey, and I was trying to address some of this stuff and getting a pretty blank look from the crowd. It didn't go over that well. And as I was coming off the stage, there was this angelic little man at the side of the stage who gave me a big hug as soon as I walked off the stage, and it was Jonas Salk. And he said, you and I should talk, because you know something that not many people do. And I said, what's that? And he said, everything is alive. And I said, well, what should we talk about? And he said, we should talk about the natural ecology of wisdom. How do you grow wisdom? How can you, what are the right environmental conditions to accelerate and broaden its growth?
That's a rare example, I would say, of a sense that men and women were part of this enterprise together.
I am.
Did you get enough sleep last night?
What?
The phone is ringing.
Hello. This is the office of Mr. E. Edward Gray.
You see, that's showing a little spunk. After all, I'm not running a mortuary.
No.
Many occasions, or can you recall an occasion, being at a social event recently, preferably since you've taken this newest role as a buyer at Neiman Marcus, where the conversation at this particular party or activity turned to, where do you work? And folks would begin sharing, well, you know, I'm with IBM, and I'm with JCPenney's, and so on and so forth. And then you have that occasion to look somebody right in the eye and in your most humble voice say, well, I'm with Neiman Marcus. And suddenly find literally the focal point of the activity kind of turns almost to put you on a pedestal that you know, my God, if you're with Neiman Marcus, there's got to be something really incredibly special about you. And folks then proceed. Has that happened? Has anybody not experienced that? You have not?
No, I haven't.
What goes through your mind at that point in time?
People are, they are in awe, and all of a sudden you're standing there and you're like, you can feel yourself going up on a pedestal, and you go, I'm no different than anybody else. But you are, you're very proud of it. It's you're very proud of working for this company. But on the other hand, when somebody starts with you, you do become more humble. And you just kind of back down and give them as few answers as possible.
You You are either transferred, or you have been promoted, or you have been hired into what is perceived by 90% of the retail community and damn near everybody outside the retail community as a tremendously elitist position as a buyer for Neiman Marcus, as an executive of Neiman Marcus. And with that comes some of the responsibilities of carrying it off. And no one will ever tell you to deny at a social event that you're with Neiman Marcus. It's the one great attribute that you never have to apologize for. It's so damn neat, because I've got a neighbor who is a very, very senior executive with one of our competitors, and he almost apologizes when he says that I'm a vice president with so-and-so. And it almost bothers me when I hear him say it, because the guy's making good money. He's got a lot of responsibility. He has a huge number of people reporting to him, and he's running an organization that's a very, very fine organization, Middle Road Department Store. And you never hear anybody at Neiman Marcus have to say that. You know,
it's 1976.
Sorry about Neiman Marcus. You don't. I mean, I've had people who have been literally first step clerical assistants in some of the most remote areas of the service center, and I have heard them talk about Neiman Marcus like they literally were running the company.
As we would maybe when we were children. In fact, one of the sources of irrationality, I think, in religious traditions is precisely the attempt to hang on to traditional beliefs in the face of critical challenges without being willing to engage in self-critical inquiry.
And those of you as individuals who are willing to go along with the world in this age, are willing to, in a sense, get ahead of the world and make the map for the world.
Suddenly, it's 1971.
Like any quantum quantity, as we've now found, isn't really determined until you try to measure its value, and then you collapse the wave function. So,
the new metaphysics, still new, as long as you are all old. Gary Geiserman dipped into it, wickwise. I'm hanging down here at Horatio's. It's the closest part of the station. All the show business cats hang out down here. They grudgingly let me in. Then an old New York made the big time finally. After grunging through the boonies and the backwaters, global still ponds of media pools. Of course, internet-wise, it's all askew. And somewhat
askance.
I'm getting, we're edge-wise here. and the spin doctors. They always talk about the quantum in terms of themselves. That's why it doesn't break through the membrane and spray seed into the matrix. All education in the Mr. Matrix of phone these days is safe education. There's an impermeable membrane across the membrane, and no little Johnnies and Marys can traipse across like they were fleeing pogroms in an old world today. Vouchsafed, I believe it's called, a degeneration of the old saw stability. A prime directive of any civilization matrix. Grounding. Protecting the outer perimeters from hordes of them or any little of those, perhaps. What with the nano gene invasion of the white coat army of corporate sponsored academically hoard R and D peoples. Always in their terms. Even when they say it's R and D. Now, I've been criticizing science for a long time around here on my climb to 54th Street and Horatio Alger's Tavern, where the cool media cats hang, and on a tertiary bar stool I sit right now. But I'm telling you, even really, really good science, which is very rare today, even pre-Bushmeister II, which rhymes with Bushmaster, argot for pickpocketing, for those who do not know extended Ebonics play. Even good book science is a mean and cruel joke. It's a trick by charlatans whose bellies, of course, crawl with worms.
To relinquish your hold upon the past, your hold upon precedent, your hold upon history before the world relinquishes it.
Even if I were to go into it, which I shan't right now due to a big wet spot dripping my way down the bar. When I'm in heavy social situations, I keep my elbows on the table, even to the point of getting calluses there. So I gotta watch it. Plus, if my dreams come true, I might be being watched right this minute. I doubt it. So let's get on with it. Let's give up evolution. Let's walk into the hole of Heisenberg with a smile on our faces, singing in German, of course, through that megaphone, Mr. Microphone. On deserted Negro streets, where we will still continue to speak hushed whispers about what Ebonics might mean, how it might save us and our soiled and sullied world.
You will find yourself at the leading edge, at the cutting edge, if you will, of reality and of the future that you are going to unfold.
It's 1999. Suddenly, it's 1984.
Mr. Barish is actually creating a map of your brain.
Okay, let's get started.
Why do you cut yourself, Lee?
I don't know.
Resuming after these messages.
Here's a particle with spin, but I don't know which way this arrow is pointing. And I send it through a detector. And the detector can detect either spins up or spin down, but nothing in between. And I send the particle through the detector, and I will always find that it either has spin up or spin down. And I'll find it, unless some weird situation is giving it asymmetry, I'll find that it has a 50-50 chance of being up or down. But before it went into that detector, I can't say it has any particular direction at all. It could be anywhere. And if I made a detector aimed at detecting spins that were either this way or this way, and I sent the same particle through that, I would find its spin was either this way or this way. That's the way quantum physics works. I ask a quantum question, and I'm going to get an answer that's consistent with the question I ask. Is the spin up or down? Yep, it's either up or down. Is the spin sideways or backwards? Yep, it's either sideways or backwards. You'll find one or the other. So that is that spin property is what I'm going to use to probe this unusual paradox that EPR talked about. So here's the EPR paradox situation.
Why do you cut yourself, Lee?
What we're going to do is start with a spin detector. And for our spin detector, we're going to use some kind of apparatus that can tell us whether the spin of a particle is up or down.
Healthy activity up there. Healthy readouts.
Very good.
Here's another object.
So,
next item. Okay. Potato head. Next item. Okay.
Just focus on the memories.
Patrick, do me a favor.
Hey, Patrick, do me a favor, will you?
Yeah.
Can you check the voltage regulator? What do we got there?
Voltage looks fine.
Really? Well, I'm not wiping as clean as I like here. I'm just... Check the connections, please.
Oh, there you are. Why am I... I don't understand what I'm looking at. Why am I standing here and... Oh, my God, deja vu. Deja vu. This is so...
All right, we should get started. If we want to get the procedure underway tonight, we have some work to do.
I mean, my head already hurt.
I suppose so. This is about right. This is what it would look like.
Very good.
We'll dispose of these mementos when we're done here. That way you won't be confused later by their unexplainable presence in your home.
Ah, there we go.
Patrick?
Yeah.
Why are there so many wires? Does that help?
Are you sure you set that thing up properly?
How's that?
How are you today, Mr. Barrett?
There we are, Mr. Barrett.
All right, that's better.
I don't know if I like this.
I think I might try this thing.
We're almost done now.
The journal will be invaluable.
Was used in forgiveness. And Matthew, the 6th chapter, 14th and 15th verse, Jesus said, "For if you forgive man their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you your trespasses. But if you forgive not man their trespasses..."
But that is more the exception than the rule, to be sure, in classical Jewish practice. As people are rediscovering this material today, of course, one of the first questions you ask is, now that women are studying this material alongside men and together with men, how will the nature of the symbolism have to change and evolve?
I forgive you, but God knows I won't forget it. Well, I got news for you this morning. If you forgive, you have to forget. The word forgive means to blot out. The word forgive means to cast away, to push away from. In other words, let's see this morning what Jesus said about it. Those that can believe that before there was a winner of where I was, those that can believe that I helped form the world and the state as we know it today,
I like you, Lee, but I don't think I'm going to offer you the job.
Why?
It's your behavior.
About my behavior?
It's very bad.
Refuse to twinkle in the sky. And then Sunday morning I rose. So here I'll defeat.
reality is not only renewed within its code, but your reality is also exploring. Exploring the future, indeed. Exploring a much more fluid, a much more flexible foundation upon which to base itself. And that much more fluid, much more flexible foundation is called the future. And that future is made up of dreams. And that fluidity and that flexibility will produce an instability and a fear for so very many who refuse to, in a sense the direction of the wind, who refuse to go along with the reality, who will tend to fight the tide and try to go against what the world is doing, to deny the fluidity, to deny the flexibility and the exploration that it demands. They will find the world very unstable and filled with fear. But those of you such as yourself as mapmakers, those of you such as yourself involved in the acceleration, you will find this journey, this accelerated momentum. You will find this fluidity and this flexibility that for so many others produces an instability and fear, for you will produce opportunity. He was in heaven then, and his name was
I met someone tonight. Oh, Christ. I don't know what to do. Her name is Clementine, and she's amazing. I don't know her name, but...
Whoa, Jesus.
Come on.
Careful.
What?
Step back. Just take it easy.
That's fine.
Roach the guy. All right, we got that one.
This place is sort of a dump, don't you think?
It's an apartment, Patrick.
Well, not a dump, then, but just sort of plain, uninspired. And there's sort of a stale smell.
Patrick, can we just please get through this? We got a very long night ahead of us.
Yeah.
This is the last time I saw you. It's 3:00.
I kind of, sort of wrecked your car.
Driving drunk. It's pathetic.
I was a little tipsy. Don't call me pathetic.
Well, it is pathetic. It's fucking irresponsible. Could have killed somebody.
Oh,
I don't know. Maybe you did kill somebody. Should we turn on the news and see?
Oh,
should I check the grill to see if there's children or small animals?
It's just a fucking dental. God, you're like an old lady or something.
What are you like? A wino?
A wino? Jesus. Are you from the 50s or something? A wino? Face it, Jolie. You're freaked out because I was out late without you. And in your little wormy brain, you're trying to figure out, did she fuck someone tonight?
Now see, Clem, I assume you fucked someone tonight. Isn't that how you get people to like you? I'm sorry, okay? Clem, I didn't mean it, right? Clem.
The keys.
I
wouldn't need them anymore.
I was just angry or annoyed or something. I don't know.
Got it. Mary's coming over tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah, just thought she'd want to know.
I like Mary. Like when she comes to visit, I just don't think she likes me.
She likes you, okay.
So, maybe I should invite my girlfriend over. I have a girlfriend now.
Do whatever you want.
Did I tell you I haven't... Yeah. Did I tell you I have a new girlfriend?
We gotta focus here, Patrick.
Yeah, the thing is, the situation is... It's a little weird. My girlfriend situation.
I'm sure it is.
Thank you.
Internet Story Exchange, helping you to ask questions, find answers, and distinguish the truth from the lie.
Metal surface, at least, that we can expose to light. We connect the apparatus up to a battery and a meter to tell us if electric current is flowing.
Look at me! I have a big head!
From New York City, the National Broadcasting Company presents... From New York City, the National Broadcasting Company... From New York City, the National Broadcasting Company presents Tonight, starring Steve Allen.
Freud compares religion to a universal obsessional neurosis.
Good news for Star Trek fans. You probably heard they're making another film that's already made. In fact, it's coming out called Star Trek IV. They're already working on another film. They've signed Shatner. Perhaps we'll get real celebrities to play the other roles. We'll now take you aboard the Enterprise, Star Trek V, in search of cash. William Shatner. At the helm. Kevin Sloan. Stardate 2-4 76.5 Something strange has happened. Since passing through a cosmic cloud, I've noticed a peculiar change in the behavior of my crew, although their faces seem the same. The personalities have altered, yet somehow they seem familiar.
Number, please.
What exchange is this?
Number, please.
I want to make a call to...
No, who called you? What is your number, sir?
Haven't got a number.
No number, no call.
Opportunity not only to dream, not only to manifest those dreams, but to actually live those dreams.
I'm sure it will. In Christianity, the word becomes flesh in the person of Jesus. In Judaism, the word remains word. And therefore, involvement with God is involvement with language, involvement with words. Remember, we are the people who have a mythology that God created the world through speaking. Other ancient peoples talked about how the gods cultivated and created the world, or God took dust and created the world. In the legend of Genesis, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The words are infinitely important in the Jewish spiritual mentality, and I think that has everything to do with such diverse outcomes as the nature of Kabbalah and the psyche of modern Jews, who are very much, even if alienated from tradition, very often people of words, people who are close to plays with language and deeper understandings of language.
The caterpillar station. That is according to the pictures, yes, that's ideal. And that starts out where you all begin, and then you grow beyond that, absolutely. As an individual and as a humanity, you've grown beyond that to a more expanded stage. Notice, however, though, in this sense, in this most primitive stage, which you all go through microcosmically in your life, and macrocosmically as a humanity, that there's no awareness at all of these two qualities that are hidden behind this body, of conception and perception. The man will do this, expecting her to have these two qualities. Man will do the will in action, expecting her to have imagination and feeling to give him understanding and meaning. But he doesn't care at all about conception, perception. She, in the primitive state, will have imagination and feeling and expect him to have will, action, understanding, and meaning. And she doesn't give it all about conception and perception. She doesn't even see giving birth at that same thing as conceiving, but simply as giving him his children.
From New York City, the National Broadcasting Company presents...
May I borrow some money?
Hey, let me hold some ends. I'll hit you back on the first, my brother.
Hey, let me hold some ends. I will hit you back on the first, my brother.
Has long been an inherent feature of the Christian tradition. It's called theology.
Now we're standing in the heart of Times Square. It was Mr. Romo's suggestion that we move from the village to... What happens in Times Square, Mr. Romo?
Everything happens. Last time I was here, they were taking down two huge people on the clothes sign. I usually come up and look at the light bulbs, you know? But I wanted to show you something specifically. You see that cat standing over there by the litter basket, the huge litter basket?
Yes.
Yeah, there stands a victim. A victim of a vicious riff. His name is Charlie L. Miller. He comes from Horse's Breath, Montana, you know, that's in the Central Stranded Time Zone, forever. See how he's standing with that look of expectancy? You know, when he first came to New York, somebody told him that old adage, you know? If you stand on Times Square long enough, you're going to meet everybody you know. You know, he came to New York in 1948.
He's been standing there ever since?
Ever since, you know, except for a couple of weeks when he came down with mononucleosis.
Oh, the poor man. What does he do in the daytime?
Well, he's president of the Chase Manhattan Bank for today.
Oh, Romo, you're putting me on.
Yes, right. At last. Look, there's hope for you after all. Get rid of that beard, you know, and let's split. Congratulations, we'll have a celebration, all right? Let's have a cab on you.
The same factors that will force so many produce instability and fear and doubt and indeed, unfortunately, in many cases, very tragic and sad realities are the same ingredients that for you can provide the most glorious and most beautiful opportunity. It all depends upon which side of the fence you're upon. And if you're willing to be, as you obviously are, upon the accelerated journey side, upon the side that is seeking spirituality, upon the side that is leading the way by making the maps of that spirituality and the future that it can produce, you're going to find that this reality is going to be a delightfully exciting, exhilarating one. The future is going to be delightful and exciting and exhilarating as well. And therefore, we want to help you. Therefore, we want to work with you. We want to help you work to gain the very momentum that you need at this time. So,
I hope you don't mind the working breakfast.
We want to help you. By helping you know the dreamer. To helping you know the dreamer of Lemuria. And to help you. Through that knowing to build your own dream. And to further to help you live your own dream. And therefore we want you to know. We want you to know and become familiar with and use at your discretion and in your particular way the Lemurian dreamer. And that is the focus of the accelerated journey. We'll be right back.
You gotta be. Let me drive you home.
Get out of my face, faggot!
Look at it out here. It's all falling apart. I'm erasing you and I'm happy. You did it to me first. I can't believe you did this to me. Clem, can you hear me? By morning, you'll be gone. The perfect ending to this piece of shit story.
Is there something wrong with a girl being attracted to me? Is that a problem?
No, I think it's funny.
So who do you think's better looking?
Yeah, this guy. Patrick, what's wrong with his buddy?
Remember that girl we did last week? The one with the
potatoes? That girl? Yeah, that's this guy's girl. Friend.
Yeah.
Was. Take care of that.
Well, I kind of fell in love with her that night.
What?
You little fuck.
What?
She was unconscious, man. Well, she was beautiful and... I stole a pair of her panties as well. Jesus.
What?
It's not like... I mean, they were clean and all.
Don't tell me this stuff, man. I don't want to hear this shit.
They were clean. What?
Don't stop.
Okay.
We got work
to
do.
Yeah, all right.
Okay, fine. Give me my paper.
There's more. After we did her, I kind of...
How unethical?
It's not really bad. We were. What? Get that look off your face. What's wrong?
Patrick, you stole a girl's panties.
There's someone here. He stole your underwear.
I don't see anyone.
I'm fucking crawling out of my skin. I left you at the flea market.
Heaven is such a wonderful place, then how is getting crucified such a big fucking sacrifice?
What's it all about?
As a duty, as an obligation. As her ticket to ride in this life. As you advance in that sensing, and as you have, and we would not suggest otherwise, as you have, we would suggest what's happened now is men in the expanded state have developed your sense of will and action, most definitely. You've developed the first two qualities of being masculine in that way. You've developed the action and the will. And something else you have done. You've begun to open yourself up, limitedly, admittedly, to imagination. Some men more than others. Most men still have a difficult time seeing themselves, imaging themselves as being highly imaginative. If they are highly imaginative, then they are corralled into the area of being artists, yes? Painters, writers, violin players, musicians, composers. And their masculinity always is a little suspect, at least in the earlier parts of their life, eh? In terms of, oh, so-and-so's not playing football, he's home writing poetry. Is he gay? He's often the suspect, etc. Oh, you enjoy music rather than thundering music, you enjoy music. That's all right for girls, but boys who enjoy music, who like to, and who write, and who write well, who can spell, who can... all very suspect. But nonetheless, in your world, you're allowed now, as a man, to not only have the will and action, but also to be sensitive enough to have imagination and feeling, at least somewhat, depending on your upbringing, varying degrees, but at least somewhat. But still and all, in this quality now, what are you looking for in a mate, whether it is a woman or a man? You're looking for somebody to give you still understanding and meaning. She is supposed to give you, or the person who represents this feminine energy is supposed to give you this understanding and meaning, to make it all worthwhile. And in that sense, many Americans, as the standard American male, has this will and action. Went through high school, got through, played on some sporting team or whatever, etc. Went on to college or some sort of training, again still played Saturday afternoon football in that particular painting, or some sort of sporting endeavour to fulfil this maleness that is supposed to be there. And he opened up then finally at about age 17 or so to let some sensitivity in, and he could feel. And he had imagination, and that got him through college or got him through trade school or whatever, a little better than most. And then he looked for the little woman. The little woman to make it all worthwhile, to make it mean something, to give him a reason to get up in the morning, to give him somebody to go to work for, somebody to work a little harder to get that raise for, somebody to pay for the vacation for, etc. She gave him meaning. She gave him understanding. Or the other person, we won't keep saying that over and over again. And that became the expanded male, but still no particular energy was given to conceiving anything. Or conceiving or perceiving anything. Most marriages in that sense, again, now, most of you are beyond this because of your spirituality, but as you look at maybe many of your parents or some of the consensus reality, that's what you see now. Men who have the will in action, they did all that right. They took all the right actions, they had all the right dreams, they had all the right ambitions, etc. They opened up to a certain amount of sensitivity, they took a sensitivity class, they took an art appreciation class, whatever, and in that same thing they began to feel and they began to imagine. Maybe a little more, a little less, but they began to do this. But still, they're seeking the mate to make it all worthwhile. She makes the decisions about those things. She, you know, gives it meaning, etc. But still, there's no sense of where are we going with this? What are we trying to conceive out of our union? What are we trying to perceive about us in our larger picture, larger scope in this sainted life? Still, the children are often seen as she giving birth to his children. And that they're not somehow hers, she's just the mother. But still in all, this is where it falls. And she's supposed to supply the rest of his male energy. She's supposed to bring that forth in him. For the expanded woman, a similar pattern evolves. She indeed has that sense of imagination and that sense of feeling. And she also develops and is now given permission to develop some will and some action on her own. She can be a cheerleader and maybe a little more. She can also be chairman of this or on that committee or part of the student council in high school, etc. She doesn't just have to be a rah-rah, pom-pom girl, etc. She can be more than that. She's allowed to have more than that. And even if that's all she does, she's allowed to have more than that action and will. Not a whole lot of this, but she's allowed to have more of it, yes? And I would suggest, therefore, having these qualities in that sense, what is she seeking in a man, in a mate? She's seeking, again, someone who still will give her understanding and meaning. Still understanding and meaning to her life. She can go out there and get a job. She can get her fancy job. She can earn a lot of money. She can become an executive. She can do all these sorts of things. She can supervise 20, 30 people. She can make millions of dollars. She can be a fancy stockbroker. She can be an airline pilot. She can be a doctor. She can be a lawyer. But it doesn't mean anything unless she's got a him to give it understanding and give it meaning. And then she can work till she's 32 or 33 or 34 or even 38, and then she has his kids. Now, again, most of you are past that, but we would suggest to you see it in the consensus reality. And it's important to see, it's important to understand that this is the expanded woman in that regard. Still, no sense of conception, no sense of perception, no sense of the higher sense of feminine energy. It's all geared around developing these qualities. You're throwing in a little feeling and a little imagination for panache, but nonetheless it's really developing the masculine energy. That's all that really matters. See, that's the core of what is the chauvinism, the male chauvinism, that is so much a part of your world. And that's why just, not opening doors for women and letting them open them for themselves, even giving them equal pay, isn't going to bring this into equality.
Current occupation period, their role in scope is even greater. Private companies are helping with the training of the post-Saddam police, the post-Saddam paramilitary forces, and the post-Saddam army. Indeed, if you look at the exact troop numbers, private military employees are actually our largest ally in the coalition of the willing. So in many ways, we should actually rename it the coalition of the billing.
A lot of people been asking what the Hawkman's all about. This one's for you. E stands for energy. Yo, that's me. I'm a brilliant scientist and a dope MC. Before you step to me, I'd think twice, G. Cause I'm the lord of chaos, king of entropy. You down with it? I motherfucking hope so. Cause if you're not, I got a motherfucking rope, yo. I'll string you up from a big ass tree, with a sign round your neck that says whack MC. There ain't another motherfucker hard like me. I'm a universal constant, I'm a singularity. Got Doomsday at my back with fat ass tracks. He pumps funk in the cracks and cuts wax with an X. So listen up, bitch, cause there may be a test. My style is smooth, but it's hard to digest. My science is tight, rhymes faster than light. Like a ton of TNT, I'm about to ignite. E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC, hard. I explode like a bomb, no one is spared. My power is my mass times the speed of light squared. Close on my tip, 15 bullets in my clip. My hand rests heavy on my pistol grip. Doomsday cuts it up like a Shaolin monk, pumping the funk in your junk trunk punk. There's no escaping here, I'm gonna beat you out of shape. Like a fucking black hole, even light can't escape. Got a mind to bust a rhyme to make your brain bleed. Other rappers talk shit, but they gotta concede that I'm a three sandwich eating, supermodel meeting. Step to me punk and you're gonna get a beating. So listen up bitch, cause there may be a test. My style is smooth, but it's hard to digest. My science is tight, rock faster than light. Like a ton of TNT, I'm about to ignite. E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC.
What?
E equals MC.
Come on, come on.
E equals MC. Parting, parting, parting. Breakdown. Ah, yeah. That's right. E equals MC. Parting, motherfuckers. God. And that was stanky ass punk. Somebody open the motherfucking window. Yo, Doomsday, take us out.
especially thinking of all the rituals that people do. Obsessional people or obsessive compulsives are people who have all sorts of rituals, right? The kind of person who has to wash their hands 4 times before going to bed. The kind of person who has a definite routine. They can't get up in the morning without doing exactly the same thing every morning. That's ritualistic, right? Well, if you think of our ritualistic life as based in institutions like churches and synagogues, then it looks like an obsessional neurosis. These people have to repeat these same patterns over and over and over again, don't they?
Suddenly, it's 1984.
Why are there so many liars?
Timpani to accent call letters.
W-C-F-L.
Now let's add the orchestra.
W-C-F-L.
Increase identity with vehicles that will increase flow. That's the idea.
I believe that
hits running,
shotgun intros,
and accents on each letter.
To serve as warnings for the rest of us. Signposts along the way.
To west.
We call the series the Propellants.
New sugar-free Dr. Pepper. It tastes as good as regular Dr. Pepper.
Our father would be a slippery with schizophrenic son.
With the Propellant insert cuts, your personality is
along the highway of
your call letters. Notice how the orchestra accents the call letters to drive home your logo.
You thought I didn't see you now, didn't you?
How often should jingles be played?
Cut the 11.
Let's face facts. A top 40 station's average listening span is lucky to be only 11 minutes.
Pathetic.
You must identify yourself within your audience listening span. You also need enough musical identification to avoid predictability.
Now, something different. Cut 8.
Flow activation. That means keeping the energy flow constant between elements.
Whether or not those elements complement one another.
Pretend the stereo beacon.
Series also includes up to 9 DJ shouts.
Catfish, Jane West,
plus over 30 special electronic components for use in contest production and as personal identifiers for each DJ.
Dick Vaughan's Moribund Music of the 70s. Please come along with Dick as he officially offers you this last chance excursion into yesteryear. For soon the path will be overgrown and lost forever.
From January 1st, 1970 to December 31st, 1979.
We were selling drugs. We was robbing and shit like that, you know what I'm saying? So the community wasn't really by our side. Like, there wasn't no shit where they was liking us. Nobody liked us in the area. We had to eat. My daughter had to eat, so we was doing what we had to do.
I feel this great, great pressure coming down on me. It's just constantly coming down on me. Crushing me.
daughter had to eat, so we was doing what we had to do, regardless, no matter what the community felt about it.
The party of your founder, Hubert Humphrey, who said that the party has its mission to take care of the people in the dawn of life and in the shadows of life and in the twilight of life. What did Hubert Humphrey say today? Is there no protest anymore?
My lucky brave. No matter what I do, I cannot be smart.
Why are there so many liars?
Obviously homemade.
I need some information.
What do you mean?
I've heard a rumor there is something on for tonight. Do you know anything about this?
You mean like an escape?
Possibly.
Where do you come off asking me a question like that? Just because I turned the radio in, don't think I'm going to rat on my buddies. Do you get this straight, pal? I'm no fink, and don't ever forget it.
Take it easy.
Oh, what a nerve! Oh, by the way, Sarge, if I don't ever see you again after tonight, it's been a real pleasure knowing you.
スターとルルを連れて海岸を散歩するのがとても好きだそうです。で、今回のこのミッドナイトベロシティで空手を習えたのがとても良かったと。
The information in your head is priceless.
Brown! Yell! Brown! Dali! Dali! Halt! Halt!
Sign. Don't break all it off. Can you hear me? I don't want this anymore. I want to call it off.
Look, our files are confidential, Mr. Varys.
so I can't show you evidence. Suffice it to say that Miss Kraczynski was not happy and she wanted to move on. Good, now tell me about...
Just tell me everything you remember.
Kind.
That's what he said. Then...
Where did we see that, Dave?
No, wait.
Oh, look! Hey!
Shit!
We're going to see my grandma!
Joel,
what?
Not going
no,
on the train.
Don't, Joel,
not
please. On. Don't make me run anymore.
Come on. Where's Weak?
We always have to run.
Where's Weak? Please.
Lemuria is a land that imagination forgot. Many will speak of it as legend or as fantasy or as even mythology, and that is perfectly fine. We find no objection. Lemuria was real in the physical fact, in the physical world, but it will never be conclusively proven to be so. No amount of archaeological or anthropological exploration will ever conclusively, without a doubt, without a question, prove that Lemuria ever existed. Because, you see, Lemuria existed beyond the bridge of belief, beyond the bridge of belief. In the realm that God and God Goddess, all that is, exists. And therefore, as we've often said, no amount of quantum physics, no amount of esoteric exploration will ever conclusively prove the existence of God in black and white fact, in black and white logic, never. Because God, Goddess, all that is, exists beyond the bridge of belief. In order to experience and to know God, Goddess, all that is, you must rise above your thought, you must rise above the feeling, and you must rise above the emotion that the combination of that thought and feeling engenders, using the very thoughts, using the very emotions, using the various feelings, certainly so, but to rise above them, not to move in a lateral or linear logical way, because you will never find what you seek. One must move in a non-linear, exponential way, and therefore to cross the bridge, to cross a bridge of belief in order to discover God. God is all that is. God is all that is, as we've said, will never be trapped upon the chalk of a blackboard, never be trapped upon a monitor of a computer, clearly not. And therefore there will never be conclusive proof, only proof by one's belief, not false hope, not false or blind faith, but by belief. And that is the way God, Goddess, all that is, works. And that is what is also true of Lemuria. It'll never be proven factually. Either will be Atlantis proven factually, because they both exist beyond that bridge. But Lemuria for sure exists beyond that bridge of belief, and therefore will never require a physical verification. No, not at all. And those who demand such, those who insist upon such, will in that same thing deny themselves one of the most beautiful energies, one of the most beautiful possibilities, one of the most beautiful realities, will deny themselves that land that imagination forgot, as they seek and demand that verification, but they'll never find it. You see, because Lemuria was and Lemuria is, past tense and present tense, Lemuria is still real, even now, still existing beyond that bridge, and only to be found by the individual, only to be found by you, the individual you, who is willing to cross that bridge, to step aside the logic, to step aside the reason, to cross that bridge, not of faith, not of blind belief, but a bridge of belief that is well founded in oneself. And when you will cross that bridge, certainly you shall find Lemuria. And only it is only to be found by those who are brave enough and courageous enough to suspend the illusion, the physical illusion, and to cross over that bridge of belief into the real, into the metaphysical realness. To find the land that imagination forgot, and in that land to find the dreamer. And as you cross the bridge of belief, as you imagine yourself lifting out of the logic and reason of a consensus reality, moving beyond time and space, and beyond time-space, you can find that land that is and has been forgotten in imagination. As one were to approach Lemuria by air, It would be located in the Pacific Ocean, far from other landmasses, to be sure. And one would note first what seemed to be a cloud or a mist that seemed to hang low over the ocean. And out of that mist would poke mountain peaks that would be black rock. Very dark, very black, very like coal almost, almost shining against the soft mist that one would note. And indeed, as one would be flying over it in one's journey beyond that bridge of belief, one would perhaps miss it quite entirely, because all that would seem to be there was this innocuous sort of mist with these mountain peaks that seemed to be sticking through. But indeed, as you would descend into that mist, toward those black mountain peaks against the white mist, what seems to be a black and white reality against the otherwise blue sea, as you would descend into that mist, through that mist, you would emerge beneath that mist and see before you the most glorious land, a huge island, certainly so, an island so huge that people could live and die upon it without ever knowing that indeed they were on an island, to be sure, but a huge island. The waters would be bluer than any blue that you had ever seen, an aquamarine blue, a midnight blue, a steely blue, a soft turquoise blue, all kinds of blues, mottled shades, changing from one hour to another during the day. And along the shore would be the most beautiful sandy beaches, almost a white sand, almost a glistening sand, almost sparkling, as though at first you might think they were made of grains of diamond rather than that of silica. Once you found yourself standing squarely planted in this most glorious sand, you would notice that all that surrounds you seem somehow brighter, more brilliant than it ought to be. The greeners more green, the browns more browns, the slate greys of stone more grey, more brilliant than you would expect, particularly since the entire continent is surrounded in a mist. Not a haze, no, not a haze, not even a fog, but just a gentle, almost imperceptible, but ever-present mist that is there. It keeps the edges soft, so the shadows are present, certainly so, but soft-edged shadows. And the sun is brilliant in the sky, and the blue is blue in the sky, absolutely, but always with a gentle mist that seemed to accompany it. But yet everything seemed to radiate. Everything seemed to radiate, because the colour almost seemed and the light almost seemed to come from the object rather than being reflected upon the object. Indeed, the continent itself, from its exterior, surrounded by the various beaches, or in the very north and very south, surrounded by jaggedy, rocked land meeting the waters very severely in these areas. But on the east and west, primarily that of beaches, that gave way to lush forest, that gave way then to the foothills, the rolling, gentle lands, almost as though one took a lush green blanket and sort of shook it in the air and then let it fall as it might. And we would suggest then the interior to that was a mountain range, a beautiful mountain range that seemed to surround the entire continent, to protect the interior. For the interior was known as the magic land, the mystic land, and those that would go there were only those who were called, only those who in their dreams or in their mystical exploration, or only those who were entreated to come would venture. It wasn't out of fear that others would not go, no, it was out of respect, that if it was not for you to go to the interior, then you would not go there. But the exterior in that sensing, the periphery is where the vast majority of the population lived. In the north and in the east, there were the timberlands. These were beautiful forests, huge virgin forests, for the most part.
Intent in a fixed position, in a job or a career, are suddenly confronted with very fast-moving situations where they can see overall patterns. They suddenly become very discontented with their place, their fixed position.
And we shine light through the glass tube onto one of the metal surfaces. So what happens?
I don't think you realize what a valuable property you've become.
shine in the light. The light hits the metal surface, and lo and behold, electrons are ejected from the metal surface, and if we have the battery connected up, the electrons can flow through the empty space of the evacuated tube to the other electrode, and then through the surrounding wires and through the meter, and they constitute an electric current.
Continues. We really look for that closed circuit so that something can get done around here. Kind of like the distance measured by sperm cells linearly formed end to end, go all the way to the moon and back, for example. I think the reason we may, if we did go to the moon, is to show us we know nothing about the moon. It's right there. Everybody's seen it. Some even theorize we have physically gone there. What if that closed circuit was not closed? What if our volume was very, very low? And we were up to number 10, even number 11. As Spinal Tap might say. And it was still very, very low around here. The metaphysics rolling. Using all the skills of special forces, even the ones nobody's written into a novel yet, all the psyops and all the ones no one would want to associate with for fear of dead-ending their military or intelligence career. Oh, you'll see them in the Middle East Expo 2008. Years after they've been developed. But not right now. The unclosed circuit that thinks it's closed, thus creating all the things in the man matrix today, including those right extremist machine pretenders who think they're so with the things today just because they've got the male god on their side. Like Douglas Rushkoff, for example. Got it all down today. Reweaving McLuhan in the masculine only image. Masculine Ebonics today. Casting no shadow on that sundial. Even though they see a shadow. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, down here at Horatio Alger's Bar, Tavern, and Watering Hole for the Glitterati. I think I've presented my case. I've even imitated presenting my case. I've imitated presenting my case. Fits in with things today.
So the dropout is a normal, a kind of response to pattern recognition.
Me from her. I don't know. You got this thing. I'm in my bed. I know it. My brain.
I'm part of your imagination too, Joel. How can I help you from there? I'm inside your head too. I'm you.
Sorry.
Look, who's that?
Oh, he works for us. That's, Patrick, baby boy.
He's stealing my identity. He stole my stuff. He's seducing my girlfriend with my words and my things. He stole her underwear. Oh, Jesus Christ, he stole her underwear.
I could die right now, Clem. I'm just happy. I've never felt that before. I'm just exactly where I want to be. I want to go home.
What?
Clem! Wait, Clem!
Clem? They're erasing you!
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Clem, focus! I hired them! Okay? I'm sorry. I'm so stupid.
Sweetie, calm down. Enjoy the scenery.
I need it to stop before I wake up and I don't know you anymore.
Okay, well, you know, just Well, cancel it then.
What the hell are you talking about? I can't just cancel it. I'm asleep.
Wake yourself up!
Okay, you want me to wake you? Okay, great. All right. Okay, here we go. Will this make you happy if I try?
Yeah.
I'll try really hard. Here we go. That was a great idea. Here. Okay. Why are ants working like gangbusters?
Oh my goodness.
This is me!
Oh my god, what is that? Jesus Christ, what the...
It's a
burglar! It did work, for a second.
But see?
I couldn't move.
Oh, well, isn't that just another one of Joel's self-fulfilling prophecies? It's more important to prove me wrong than it actually...
I don't want to discuss this right now, okay?
Fine. Then what? I'm listening.
I don't know. You erased me. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm doing this in the first place.
I'm sorry.
You.
You know me. I'm impulsive.
That's what I love about you.
Joel.
Mm-hmm?
I have another idea for this problem. This is a memory of me. The way you wanted to have sex on the couch after you looked down on my crotch.
What?
Joel, the eraser guys are coming here, so what if you take me somewhere else? Somewhere where I don't belong. And we hide there till morning.
Man, I can't remember anything without you.
That's very sweet, but try, okay?
Okay.
This is the global village that you...
No, but I mean, in all aspects of our society, the people who are dropping out right, left, and center are people who suddenly have seen a pattern in their lives. Instead of just a fixed position, visually oriented, everything in its place, a place for everything, a classification, a job, people suddenly want to be involved in more dynamic patterns. For example, a talk show.
Was known as the magic land, the mystic land, and those that would go there were only those who were called, only those who in their dreams or in their mystical exploration or only those who were entreated to come would venture. It wasn't out of fear that others would not go, no, it was out of respect that if it was not for you to go to the interior, then you would not go there.
I don't know what to do. Kirk out. Mr. Chekhov! Warp Factor 1!
Well, excuse me, sir. Huh? Yes, I'm sorry. Chekhov was in a sick bay. Mort said again. Oh, yes. Oh! Mindy, nice date. Huh? Yes. Oh. Down, Mr. Happy. All right. Oh, yes.
The last 19th century poet you'll hear is widely acknowledged as one of the greatest American poets.
Wait.
Mrs. Lombardo, okay? Dana, okay, Dana, okay. It's a D-A-N-A? D-A-N-A, Dana. Okay.
Just a second.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll call you back. I have to find my manager, okay? I cannot do anything myself like this. It was our problem. I'll explain to you, okay? I have to explain my manager, and she will find out for me how to do it, okay? Special delivery, overnight delivery, okay.
I'll find another one.
Somebody's on the floor, not my manager, another man. Yeah. It was in cold area, and she didn't know. It was in cold area. We have cold area, and it was in that area. It was in a stock room in cold area, man.
Why do I fall in love with every woman I see who shows me the least bit of attention? The periphery is where the vast majority of the population lived. In the north and in the east there were the timberlands. These were beautiful forests, huge virgin forests for the most part. Then indeed those forests that were cultivated. And the lumberjacks, as you might call them now, would cut the timber, certainly so, to use it for their own uses and to sell as their vocation. But they would do so not in a way to rape the land, to strip it of all the trees. No, they would systematically move from one area to another to, in a certain sense, prune the forest so that it might grow more lush and more rich, so that it might give a better bounty in years to come. As one moves southward from this timberland, the brilliant trees of timber would give way. They would give way to the rolling hills, to the gentle farmland and to the gentle countryside. Here crops were grown and animals were raised and grazed in that way. Peoples gathered together almost in familiar villages, grandparents and their children and their
an example
aunts and uncles and nephews and nieces and first cousins.
New need or
all sort
demand
of
for involvement in dynamic situations
interacting
in which
with
people
certainly so.
Begin to inquire of each other
quite independent
in such a way that both of them can make discoveries about the other. Is there a need on the part of the viewer for the viewer to participate more fully in such a dialogue?
When you can
interpret
it
into a package,
beautiful mountains that would stretch all the way right to the sea.
Package
and as you would pass through
material,
these mountains heading northwest along the southern
the advertising
land,
world or in
what we call the mining country.
World is no
this was an area
acceptable.
Where there was very little flat land in that way, and what there was used
as
for crops and raising animals. But the main activity was that of mining.
We live
mining,
in a world
as you would
in which
precious
consumer
metals now, but also metals now that you would think to be quite innocuous, quite unimportant, that were often used for healing purposes and domestic excavation, certainly so. But the mining country is very profitable and very productive area. Indeed, this area would look perhaps most as you might think of some wonderful area in Switzerland or high in some mountain ranges with valleys that were lost to everyone above the clouds in that way and wonderful mountain streams that seemed to bustle their way down toward the ocean. And it was just absolutely breathtakingly beautiful in this southwestern area of the mountain land. As you move further now from the west, moving now north toward the true west, one would find these jaggedy mountains with their sharp and austere peaks giving way to high plateaus, high flatlands upon which the savannas in that way existed, wild fields of grass that seemed to stretch for forever, as they seem, to the horizon for sure. Some of this land cultivated into huge farmlands of grazing grain, certainly so.
should make you think of your Midwest, the parts of Kansas and parts of
In all aspects of our society, the people who are dropping out right, left, and center are people who suddenly have seen a pattern in their lives. Instead of just a fixed position, visually oriented, everything in its place, a place for everything, a classification, a job, people suddenly want to be involved in more dynamic patterns. For example, a talk show is an example of this new need or demand for involvement in dynamic situations in which two people begin to inquire of each other in such a way that both of them can make discoveries about the other.
And we can measure how much current by measuring the flow of current with the meter that I've indicated in the picture here.
So in professional life, you might find a loyalist six who really wants to fall into line in a secure position as a second in command, as somebody who is on the team, like a loyal team member, but really doesn't want to take that frontal position.
Is there a need on the part of the viewer for that?
The viewer can participate more fully in such a dialogue than he can in just listening to a packaged delivery.
That causes a certain dilemma. In some situations, you get great services from a good corporate citizen who can specialize in that service and provide a certain amount of expertise at a lower rate. However, you also have the risk of bad corporate citizens. In regular industry, the example to think about is that for every Ben and Jerry's, you run the risk of also having an Enron. Only here, the stakes are far, far higher. So the difficulty with private military companies is that you have to find a way to lock in a critical service, national security itself, without losing the efficiency of the marketplace. So you have all the normal worries that you have with regular contracting. If you were to hire a plumber, for example, you have to worry about overbilling, overstaffing, what's the quality of service that they're going to provide you. But now it's taking place within warfare. And so these normal worries still happen. The classic example of this took place with a company called DynCorp that's based here in Virginia as well. They had contracts in the Balkans where not only were they supposed to provide international police, but they were also doing maintenance on U.S. Army aircraft. Their employees, in many cases, were reportedly ex-waiters, ex-security guards, basically people who weren't trained to the level that they were billing for. This was an accusation made by another employee within the firm. In addition, several members of that firm got involved in some pretty vicious sex crimes while they were under U.S. government employ.
You don't have it? Thanks anyway. F*** you. Making new friends. Hello, sir.
What up?
I admire your fashionable running shoes.
Drop them Nikes off your ass before I blast you, motherfucker.
Drop them Nikes off your ass before I blast you, motherfucker.
And then sit and write down what the notes are in the key which I told you to write it in. Thank you.
take your order, please. Okay, would you like anything to drink with that? That'll be 204 at the second window, please.
Packaged material, whether it's in the advertising world or in the educational world.
Do you tend to be rather patriarchal in a general sense, just as the previous pagan religions tend to be matriarchal and matrifocal?
With so much drama in the NYC, it's kind of hard being MOS, definitely. But somehow, some way, you keep coming up with funky-ass shit like every single day. May I spit a lyric for my ghetto people? Show me enough respect when I breeze through. Riders beep they horn, because I keep the party jumping like your mom ain't home. I'm just a freak individual singing my song, shining bright on a mic like I'm 6 a.m. So peep out my manuscript. Reach up, sleeves up for a second. And now bounce, this is the one that make the party wild out. Dev poetry about the wild out. Brooklyn, we about to make them wild out.
At the very least, very, very friendly towards a great mother or a great goddess. Whereas the ascending religions tend very much to be towards God the Father, God who's in heaven, or at the very least say formless.
We gotta go. What? Go on. Go.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Clem, come on. Here I am.
Truck. Doc. Please.
All right. Let's begin by you telling me everything you remember.
That's strange. He's in a memory that we've already erased.
Well, at least we know where he is, and he's back on track, right?
We can also adjust the strength of the battery, that is, its voltage, and see what effect that has on the electrons, and that way we can actually measure the electrons' energy.
Come on, Clem. Seems to have developed some sort of resistance to the procedure.
I don't want to run anymore.
Shit.
Hide me somewhere deeper, somewhere really buried. Hide me under humiliation.
Humiliation.
Come on, baby.
Sorry. Okay.
How come you calling me?
We're all in you. Oh, you can't come with to anything.
You know what's rocking
her. Let me drive you home.
Stop!
Hi, Howard.
Oh, wait, Howard.
He's disappeared again.
Oklahoma or whatever, flatland, but much higher, much high plateau in that regard where...
Oh, no.
If you don't see me no more, if you don't hear me no more, I don't worry about me. I got my business straight. I got my house in order. One windy. I don't know y'all day, but somebody said I met him one Monday evening down in the foothills of Alabama. Somebody said one two evening. I met him in the cotton field of Mississippi. I heard my own mother said one Thursday afternoon down in Shelby, Mississippi. She was over and watched her. Something got all over her. She began to wring her hands. Oh, yeah, she did. Oh, the Holy Ghost. Oh,
I used to be a stuck-up white boy, faking the funk. Bump that. I ain't bullshitting on Front Street no more, thanks to the Wake Up Crew's Ebonics Language Lesson.
Available in a hood near you.
Sorry, Harry.
Humiliation.
Joel!
I don't like it either. I'm just trying to find horrible secret places to...
Joel, honey, I have a surprise. You know what, honey? I'm just going to ask you in the morning. Look! Joel! Joel, look!
What?
Look where we are!
Clem, this isn't good.
Then hide me somewhere really buried.
To the water's edge and then huge cliffs, maybe hundreds, maybe even more feet tall, that would drop drastically, severely, to the water's edge. As one moved further north and now into the northern portions again along the periphery, the flatlands would give way again to mountainous ranges. That would be uninhabitable in that way. Raging rivers and that same thing, that would be more grand than any river that you might imagine in the old world, dumping billions upon billions of gallons of water into the ocean every second of the day. There would be huge fjords, as you think of them in your Scandinavian part of the world, where mountain ranges seem to lift straight out of the ocean in that regard, leaving these finger-like bays or inlets that were raging with torrents of water and currents of water. Again, breathtaking, but uninhabitable for the most part, leading all the way around then to the timber country where we began in the north and eastern portion.
You see, I have this... I feel this great, great pressure coming down on me. It's crushing me.
constant of nature of the 20th and 21st century. It's the new thing that's been introduced.
And we had several conversations on this subject, which were very fruitful. And one of the things that we concluded was that you know, many of the same principles that would apply in a normal ecosystem about robustness and the health of the ecology were also going to be very helpful in producing wisdom. And some of those are broad diversity of species with a very high ability to interact across many different boundary conditions with one another. So there, you know, if we are going to grow the ecosystem of mind to the extent that we are now capable of doing, the thing that we cannot allow to happen is the desertification process that will take place if Time Warner, AOL, Bertelsmann, Sony, those guys are to have their way.
Traveling round the world, on your behalf and at your expense, visiting some of the chaps with whom I hope to be shaping your future. I went first to Germany. The Bundeswehr League. There I spoke with the German Foreign Minister, and we exchanged many frank words in our respective languages.
I am not a number.
For official purposes, everyone has a number. Yours is number 6.
In the course of their adventures, Langdon and Neveu meet up with a third person, Sir Lee Keibing, a wealthy aristocrat who's an expert on the Grail, who discusses the historical background to its mystery. As Keibing explains to Langdon and Neveu,
the consumer status has been greatly downgraded. We live in a world in which the consumer habits have been yielding steadily to producer involvement.
Continues. New Metaphysics, where I get the temporary illusion of being at dominion with all I survey. meaning I also am at dominion with all I may survey. And for review purposes, all I have surveyed this illusion. It's my show. I have this illusion. NewMetaphysics.com, of course. You can pick it up in a tin hut in some godforsaken South Pacific island, watching a TV with no tube and no electric and no battery either. In that glorious Quonset Hut temple of world media today, the illusion of all I survey, and I'll feel you picking it up. It goes up and down the neuron stack. World today. The world today.